Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's a joy to be here. This is our fifth day of our series here on this topic. And so today we're going to be talking about making our homes a missionary center for Jesus. You know, it's one thing to bring up children to know the Lord and to love the Lord, but we're not just doing this to save ourselves, right? We're in the middle of a dying world, and God wants us to use us to His glory to make an impact in our communities where we live. So today we're going to be talking about missionary outreach as a family, and we hope it's a blessing to you. We have a bunch of pictures to show again. And again, friends, things will look different in your family than ours. Okay, we're just going to share some things that we've learned over the years and some mistakes that we've made, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to all of you. Okay, let's bow our heads as we pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being here at camp meeting. Thank you for the privilege of sharing this seminar this week, and we pray, Lord, this will be a blessing to everyone here, to everyone that might listen in the future. We invite your Holy Spirit to guide us, to open the hearts of everyone listening, that your Holy Spirit can guide each of your children in how you would have them organize their homes for missionary service for your kingdom. Father, we're living in a dying world. Nobody knows that better than you. And you want us to be witnesses in this world for you. So bless us now as we think about this topic. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's a beautiful quote by Mrs. White. It says that the greatest evidence of the power of Christianity that can be presented to the world is a well-ordered, well-disciplined family. This will recommend the truth as nothing else can. Why? For it is a living witness of its practical power upon the heart. We all know that not everyone's going to pick up a Bible and read it, right? People need to see the difference that the Bible and God's, what He's revealed to us, the difference that it makes in our lives. And so that's been a beautiful quote that we found many years ago. And as we move forward today, all five of us are going to have a part to play. We're going to sing a song at the end. And we hope this, again, will be a blessing to you. Rebecca?
So now that Daddy shared that quote, I want to just talk about the concept of putting Jerusalem first. In Mark 16:15, we read, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" This is the great commission that Jesus gave to the disciples, but essentially he's given it to all everybody who has come after him, them including us. In Luke, it goes on and further explains that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his names to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then in Acts, it goes even farther. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So as we can see here, Jesus was saying we need to be putting their starting point for their evangelistic efforts was to start at Jerusalem. And from the eyes of the disciples, what was Jerusalem? Yeah, it was their home. It was the place they grew up. That's where they were raised. They lived all their life there. That was like their home community. And so as we read these verses, I see that Jerusalem, in like our day and age now, it would be like our families, the closest circle we have of influence around us, which is our families. Because if you say you throw a rock into a lake, the circles, they go out into a broader circles. So if we start in Jerusalem, and then our impact will go out to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to our communities, then to... It just gets broader until we are being a witness to the entire earth. We are to start by spreading the gospel in our own homes, then to our neighbors, and then to our community. and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. If Christianity is not transforming our own families and our own life, then we don't have anything to share with others. Sometimes, in our zeal to evangelize the world, we forget about the beautiful flock God has placed in our care. And that is not just the parents. Parents, yes, their most important job is to raise their children, but also for siblings and to be witnessing to their other siblings, to be friends with them, and just the close-knitness that God had planned for the family. Sometimes I think we fail to realize that when we put Jerusalem first, we aren't isolating ourselves from the world around us. We are actually mobilizing the greatest evangelistic tool that we can attain. As the quote that Dad read earlier, it's the greatest evidence of the power of Christianity. In Adventist Home, it says, "One well-ordered, well-disciplined family tells more in behalf of Christianity than all the sermons that can be preached." Now, if you ask me, I think a sermon is a quite good evangelistic tool. I really think 1,000 sermons is like huge, like that would have a ton of impact. But this is saying that our families can have more impact than 1,000 sermons, and one godly family can have more impact than all the sermons that could ever be preached. And that to me sounds like an incredible, that doesn't sound like isolation to me. That sounds like mobilizing the greatest evangelistic tool there is to attain.
So I'd like to say, where do we start? How do we raise mission-minded children? Well, it starts right at the beginning, even before you start having children. It's getting your mindset and trying to figure out what principles do we want in our home. But then it goes a step further. It's dedicating your children to the Lord. And actually, when we're dedicating our children to the Lord, we're really dedicating not only them, but we're dedicating ourselves as parents to be raising up the children in the Lord. But another way that we are raising mission-minded children is in simple things. A lot of people put so much time and thought in choosing a name. But is your thoughts thinking about thoughts of choosing a name with purpose to help establish that mission? Many people put a lot of time and effort into choosing names. And like for us, we did too. The name like Nathan Daniel Hamilton. Nathan means a gift from the Lord. Daniel means God is my judge. And so we wanted him to know these things. And if you read through the Bible, so many Bible characters are specifically this, naming a mission for them or a statement for their life. You know, God is my judge, or God is my Jehovah is God, or different things that different names mean. Well, there's other things you can do. I chose to put my children's name to song, so that when Nathan, like for example, I'll use his song. When he was just little, we would sing several times a day, Nathan Daniel Hamilton, that's my name. Nathan Daniel Hamilton, that's my name. Nathan means a gift from the Lord. Daniel means God is my judge. I will serve God every day, and he will show me how to live. Nathan Daniel Hamilton, that's my name. Yeah. And we would sing that together every morning, every night, throughout the day, just be singing it. And he would learn his name. And at family worship time, we'd go around and sing each other's name songs, you know. And like Rebecca, her name, I didn't like the meaning of the name so much, but I liked the character of the person in the Bible, Rebecca. So her song was more the character. Rebecca Raylene, she's my little girl, helpful and kind. All of the time she goes above and beyond in all that she does. She's our ray of sunshine, a ray of sunshine for Jesus. And we could sing those songs, but it's got purpose written into it. I'll let you guys ask Andrew what his is and the other ones. Other people, they put by life verses, you know, they would sing all the time. Well, lots of you guys do that, sing memory verse songs like, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Well, in our worships, we are instilling those principles of mission in the children. Another key point that... Let me just get the slide moving. There we go. You are to disciple your children. How many of you have noticed the root word of discipline? What is the root word of discipline? It's the same word as disciple. So whenever you're working with your children, keep in mind that no matter how I respond to this situation, am I discipling my children with my discipline? And it will help us to remember the goal. It's not just to get good behavior out of the kids, you know, but to try to the ways that we go about it, are you helping them to grow closer to the Lord? Another point is to be safe for your children. Be safe for them to come to you with their faults, with their failures, and their plans for the future. Talk together about it. And just be a safe place so that there's open and trust and transparency in your relationship and working together. Also, a lot of times they're like, if your home is founded on God's principles, and most of the time instilling the principles of being mission-minded family, it's unremarkable. It's just becomes an ordinary way of life. But that is what is most striking to the world around you. Without you even knowing it, without you even realizing it, those principles are being played out just as your regular day of life, but the other people stop and take notice because it is different. Invite your children to join in with you regarding your working for the Lord. Invite them to be part of it. Just a quick example, my dad, he was a teacher. And he was called into the ministry. And so he sat down with his children and he said, guys, I've been asked to go into the ministry. I love what I'm doing. I'm a teacher. You guys, this is how it's going to impact your life. And I don't want to go into the ministry alone because I don't believe it's a one thing. I'm happy to stay where we are. But I don't want to go into the ministry unless everybody wants to go into it. So you stop, you pray about it, you think about it, and if you think it's going to be too hard or too difficult, then I'll stay a principal. But you guys choose and pray about it, which way God's leading. But if we go into the ministry, we're going to do it as a family. And we all went and we prayed. And I know for me it was very empowering because I was praying and I felt the call of God in my heart. Yes, to go into ministry. And we took a family vote and it was unanimous. But from then on, you know, whenever things happened, he's like, you're in it with me. But yes, some of you guys won't be ministerial families, but find ways to call them and to invite them to be part of doing service together, to have them feel like they're as much part of the team as the parents are. Okay, raising your children to be missionaries or disciples of the Lord is going to be countercultural, and there'll be a lot of peer pressure. So talk with your children, and because they're going to be the most sensitive to it. And equip your children to stand and not compromise. Okay, and the last point around this part is, remember, even if you disciple your children for the Lord, it's the Lord working on the child's heart that brings about salvation. Their salvation is their decision. But it's a miracle from the Lord every time a child hears the word of God for themselves and responds to it. So watch and pray for your children that they will hear God's voice for themselves and that they will respond, and keep praying for them, because you can lead them to the Lord, but it's their decision to go forward. All right, some practical things that you can do to help your children become mission-minded is go visiting. Visit your neighbors, visit your church members, visit shut-ins. You're teaching them from very early on to visit people and to start caring about people. And what does caring about people mean? It doesn't necessarily come naturally. You need to practice. And practice in your homes things like learning to eat healthy. Cook healthy, let them learn to cook, and then invite them to help with the Diabetes Undone. And which meal are you going to cook for Diabetes Undone? And get them involved with cooking the meal. It's amazing. At the Diabetes Undone, we had, you know, we mentioned that Rebecca, and I think she was 13 at the time, had cooked one of the meals. And the people were like, really? She knows how to cook healthy? You know, and it's like, yeah, she does, you know. But it was fun, because they can start saying, oh, I know how to have healthier life, and I can teach other people. Also, teach how to do natural remedies. Practice it in your home. Practice it on each other, and then let them watch you as you're doing it to others, and they will start doing that. Right here, the conference office owns all the materials to do a child health expo. Take them to your churches and use these materials and do a health expo for your community and get the kids involved doing the health expo. And then invite people, especially if you want them mission-minded, invite people that are new to the area, people who are of different backgrounds, different countries, whether they're refugees, other languages, and invite them into your home. Other things you can do is read mission stories. Every Friday night we read mission stories together. Pray for other people together, and choose a country or a people group and pray for them and study about those people groups. And then you can go to My Language, My Life. It's on the internet, and you can print out cards. In My Language, My Life, one of my friends, Scott Griswold, helped to develop this, and it's basically just a business card, and you give it to anybody who has like a different language. And this website has all kinds of Christian materials, all different things, and it's in about 100 different languages, and all they have to do is go click on it. You may not, like a Korean person, I've talked to them, we say hi, and can barely get past that, but it's like, oh, here, this is good for you. You can go listen to it. And they've taken those cards, gone home, and they can listen to anything in their own language. Okay, so it's time for me to wrap this up, but and I forgot to show these things. And challenge your children, find ways to reach out, and find projects they can. This one's helping Pugwash save their horse program. And get them involved with ministering for others. Claim your neighborhood, claim your schools for the Lord, and pray for them, pray together. And just teaching your children how to have conversations and turn it toward the Lord. So those are all ways to help develop the children to have a mission-mindedness.
Amen. Just one little thing I'd like to share to kind of take a step back, maybe to yesterday. The things that we're sharing today assume that, you know, we're going to be talking a lot about doing today, in a sense. This is all based on the premise that we're being with Jesus, okay? I like to boil Christianity down to prayer, Bible study, and service. So we're going to talk about service today. I'll just show you a couple things. Like, having family worship is so important with kids. And what was really, really helpful for us is we purchased these probably 10 years ago now, but there's something called the International Children's Bible. This is not a comic strip type of Bible. I don't like those. This is a excellent translation, but when they were after they were translating it, they simplified the English down so that a student in grade 3 or 4 or 5 could easily understand it. So our children started reading this when they were 6, 7, 8 years old, and reading the stories and having family worship. Mom and Dad would have their New King James. The kids would have the International Children's Bible. And, you know, now they've grown from that. Now they're using the New King James Version. But they fell in love with the Scriptures from this. Okay, I want to share that. It's a beautiful Bible. It's a beautiful translation. More than once, actually many times, I'd check the Adventist Bible commentary when we were stuck on a difficult passage, and then I'd have one of the kids read this verse, and it was bang on. It was amazing to me. Oh, what a beautiful job they did with this translation. But anyway. And then, because when kids are young, their attention span is only so long, right? So the white estate very faithfully simplified, or not simplified, shortened the Conflict of the Ages series. And this series is an adaptation in today's English language. And it took 3,500 pages of the Conflict series and squeezed it down into these five little books. They're paperback. And that's what we, for the last 2 years in our home, we've studied the Bible from Daniel. Now we're into Genesis. Now we're into Revelation, going through this series. Okay? Nathan and Rebecca and sometimes Andrew read the full editions. Okay? But to make a half an hour of family worship in the morning exciting and not too long, we use these simplified versions to start. So I simply want to say, all this doing things that we're going to be sharing, it's all got to be based on having a relationship with Jesus. It starts with prayer, Bible study, and then finally to service. Make sense? And I know some people prefer the old King James Version. Praise the Lord. If your children can understand that at a young age, praise God. So here we are in the Oak Park Church. A couple of years ago, we got the kids involved, and all the, actually I see Melissa there. We're packing shoe boxes for that program that they were doing the shoebox and sending them around the world to the young people. Ministry of Healing says the world needs today what it needed 1900 years ago, a revelation of Christ. A great work of reform is demanded, and it is only through the grace of Christ that the work of restoration, both physical, mental, and spiritual, can be accomplished. So God wants to do a great work in our day, amen? Through our families, through our churches. And it's all by the grace of God. Christ's method alone will give true success. You all know this beautiful quote, right? In reaching the people. How did Jesus do it? The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them. He ministered to their needs and won their confidence. Then he bade them, "Follow me." You know, why did you come to camp meeting? Did you just come to be blessed, or did you come to be a blessing? Last night I left one of the buildings and I walked that way a few hundred feet, and someone came up to me and they were sharing some of the struggles that they were having. After that was over, after a half an hour or so, I went this direction, back to the cabin. Somebody else came up to me. And I was there for a half an hour. People have struggles. They're hurting. Take time to mingle with people. Show your sympathy. Minister to their needs. Win their confidence. And then bid them to follow Jesus. There is a need of coming close to the people by personal effort. I like to read these every now and then. It's kind of a paradigm shift for me. Gets me headed to true north again. If less time were given to sermonizing and more time was spent in personal ministry, greater results would be seen. The poor are to be relieved, the sick cared for, and the sorrowing and the bereaved comforted, the ignorant instructed, and the inexperienced counseled. We are to weep with those that weep, and rejoice with those that rejoice, accompanied by the power of persuasion and the power of prayer and the power of the love of God. This work will not and cannot be without fruit. That's my true north, if you will, recalibrating what God wants us to be doing in life. I love it. We've tried to teach our children from a very young age to enjoy working and doing productive things. And just going to flip through a few pictures here. We had a family that was, you know, they were struggling a little bit and they needed some firewood. One Sunday in Oak Park, some of the Oak Park church members came out and I took the boys over to Oak Park, and Harold Newell had some firewood that was stacked up on one of his pieces of property. And I think we started at 9 or 10 in the morning and we finished at 9 o'clock at night. We filled an entire dump truck with four cords of wood all chunked up into short pieces, and then the next day Harold had delivered it to the family. The kids loved it. There's Andrew in the back of the dump truck. He stacked that entire load by himself. It's like 8 or 10 hours work. It was a lot of fun. Working together. Get your children active in outreach programs with your community. Years ago when we were back here in the Pugwash district, there was a Bethlehem Live program going on in Pugwash, and the kids were little. And they loved animals, and the people in the community could walk through and see what Bethlehem might have been like back in the olden days when Jesus was born. We tried to encourage the kids to help us with distributing literature. Here's a book written by Mark Finley, Hope in Troubled Times. You know, there's a dear couple in Digby. They handed out 1,000 of these books. 1,000. Pretty much every home in Digby received one, if they were interested. And this was during COVID. Instead of being bunkered down in our home with our masks on and all worried about everything, they had their masks out and they were sharing. A week later, a pastor, could we get some more books? We just handed out another 200, 400. Called the ABC in Oshawa. They were out of books, so I called out to Alberta. They had some. Ship them here, please. And over about a month, 6 weeks span of time, pretty much every home in Digby received a book. There's the shoebox program at the end of the day after the kids stacked them all. Here we did we kind of like to have an improved substitute for Halloween and things like that. So we did a Reformation celebration at the Digby Church. There's Dan Kelly up front and Tayway and the kids, and I'm standing there as Martin Luther. And we just acted out the whole part of the of Martin Luther's great speech and so on. Look for ways to serve your community. With kids, you know, it's that enjoy working, it's so easy to make friends with the community because people are getting older, right? And they need some help. And hey, do you think your kids could help out cutting our lawn and different things? Here's our the gentleman up the street I mentioned, I think it was yesterday, that owns the 2,000 or 3,000 fruit trees. And some of his workers are getting older, and the kids have been helping him out with pruning every spring and picking all his fruit in the fall. And even Andrew's been involved just lately, going up and doing different jobs for him. And as he gets a little older, he'll be able to run the pneumatic pruners as well. So there's all kinds of things. You know, we become good friends with our neighbors and the people that they work for. Invite others to join you for family worship or other activities. We enjoy singing on Friday evening to bring in the Sabbath. And it's interesting, one of our neighbors heard us one time. Could I come over and join you sometime? And here we have a lady across the street came over and joined us several times now to enjoy singing with us on Friday evening. Here's some church members visiting at our place. Yeah, Andrew's turn. Okay, Andrew. Your turn, honey.
Yes, I do. All right. So, I'm going to be talking about being a missionary and the steps that have helped me to be a better missionary where I've been. So, I'd like to ask you a question. What do you think when you read our title, Family, a Missionary Center? Well, what I immediately think of is something like the sun. The gases are constantly fueling each other up and in the core, and then the heat and electrons on the surface shooting out as solar flares in the direction as rays of light in the dark universe. So if this is what a missionary center is, then this is what our home should be like. So, I'd like to ask, this is something I've been asking myself, and it is something that I'd like to ask us all here. How can we be missionary-minded people? How can we be a missionary-minded young person? So when I was preparing my sermon, I was trying to wrestling through this topic of trying to be a missionary. And I asked my mom, and she gave me these 5 steps. And some of you know that she's been a missionary in Cambodia, Thailand, the Marshall Islands, and Dominican Republic. But some of you also might know that that's what I'd like to be when I grow up, an overseas missionary. So she gave me these 5 steps. It's, you need to have a relationship with Jesus, or you don't have anything to give. You need to care about others. We need to pray for God to open opportunities to witness. We need to look for opportunities to help others, and we need to equip ourselves to meet those needs of those who we want to help. So, just a story. I was just working for one of our neighbors, as Dad mentioned, we do a lot. And I was just doing some job for her, and she said, "Man, you do really good work." And I had answered, "Oh, thank you very much." And she said, but then later I was just, you know, wondering, and I'm like, I should say something about God and how I love Jesus and how he's been helping me. So, at the end of the day, well, I was praying most of the time through, at the end of the day, God gave me an opportunity to, and she had said again, "Thank you so much, I really appreciate your work." So I replied, "Thank you. By God's grace, I do my work to the best of my abilities." And I don't know what happened next, but it just seemed like she had been touched. And I'm so thankful that God is able to work through us, give us second opportunities. Another quick story is, one of our neighbors is giving me bagpipe lessons. So I go over there, and after that we play games and we talk, and it's been amazing. We've been able to talk about spiritual matters and all sorts of stuff, and we've been really friends. This has been happening for about 2 years, and we've just been able to, he keeps saying I've been a blessing to him. The truth is, though, he's been a really serious blessing to me. He's probably one of the best friends I have in our neighborhood. And God's just been able to use me, and we are so thankful for having the most wonderful neighbors. And I'd like to say somebody needs pruning done. Ask somebody how to learn it so that we can fill that need. And we can have fun learning that. And working for Jesus is such a wonderful thing. We are blessed with the opportunity to be able to work for Jesus and do what God could have chosen for the angels, but He chose us. And we need to be a blessing. And He has given us such a blessing to be able to tell people about Jesus and the wonderful hope for the future. Another story is about we deliver eggs to most all of our neighbors, and we've had a business from that, from our old house. And now in our new house, that's just been one of our businesses. And so I went to our one neighbor, and she had said, "Man, I love to come out on my porch and hear you sing in your garden." And I'm like, "It's," and she's like, "That's so beautiful." And I'm like, "Man, I hope she didn't see us arguing or something." but it's just amazing, the little things that has touched our neighbors and how we can be a blessing to our neighbors and to just all just the wonderful opportunities God's given us to be working for Him, and that He has given us the job of being His ambassadors on this earth for Jesus. And I am so thankful for that.
I want to just share something real briefly. A few years ago, David Streifling and I led out with a building project down in Truro. You'll see it right across from the Walmart building. And David was able to arrange to have Maranatha come for about 6 weeks and do a huge amount of work for us. It really pushed us forward. But whenever there's something like that going on, like that was a big project, right? Get your kids involved. They love doing things. We didn't get the photos, but kids were up helping putting on shingles. They built the shed in the backyard, a good portion of it. They really got involved, and it was a lot of fun for them. And, you know, there's not that many Maranatha projects that go on, right? So it's like, wow, this is in our own backyard. Let's get them involved. So whenever there's something happening, just take advantage of the opportunity. Kids love to enjoy, learn new projects. And thanks to David, were able to learn some new skills in the whole process.
You know, as they were talking, it reminded me of some friends of mine that I met in last year. And, you know, he was telling me about his youngest, the pastor was telling me about his youngest son, and he told me how his youngest son, right from an early age, began to, you know, the money he got, he's like, "Well, what do I do with this, Dad?" And he's like, "Well, that's up to you, son." And he's like, "Well, Dad, I want to use it as a ministry. And so he's like, "Okay, what are you going to do?" And he's like, "I know what I'm going to do." He said, "I'm going to buy good, wholesome Silver Hills bread, and I'm going to take it and give a loaf to all of our neighbors, and I'm going to talk to them." And so the whole family went down from neighbor to neighbor, giving them bread with the one. Like, so when I know when I heard that story, I was thinking, this young boy is giving all the money that he makes in his, you know, at 8 or 10 years old to the Lord in His service. And I was thinking, it was humbling to me to think, you know, that's sacrifice, giving everything that you have for the Lord. And even at an early age like that, and to me that was inspiring to see. But the principle that also it taught me in hearing this story is that they didn't just have him go along to the neighbors and do his little ministry. They did it as a family. And the family said now they were good friends with so many neighbors they didn't even know they had. And the little boy is always buying more bread. So that it's a bit of a nonstop ministry. And so just little things like that, that ministry as a family is God's design, as we've been seeing, talking about. But it's God's design that we do it together, because that's why He put us with all of, you know, our different talents and weaknesses together, so that His name can be glorified. And there's no time better than the young years to do ministry. And as I think about this, it reminds me of how young people often think that their real big part of life comes once they get married. You know, once they get married, then they're going to really, or once they leave home or whatever, then they're going to really be missionaries or whatever. But this is actually not the case. God has put us in our families as missionaries, and that is our place to be missionaries for the most part until He gives us, you know, either moving us away to do ministry or to our next families. And life in this world, it's about love. Jesus's life is about loving us. And so our life should be about loving Him in return, even when we're small, and loving Him as a family. I want to... Declaration of Dependence. Well, the Declaration of Independence is when the... before the United States was even the United States, the colonies decided that they wanted to be free from English rule, and so they declared that they were independent of the English rule. And, you know, and that led on to the war that happened and eventually splitting off from England and becoming their own country. But I want to read to you from a book called Our Ebenezer. This has been a huge blessing to me and my family reading this. Reading this book is just... It's by the Deisinger family. They're farmers down in Tennessee, Adventist people. Amazing people who love the Lord with all their hearts. And reading this book was really humbling for me, to be honest. Because I saw what true faith looks like. True trust, what true following God looks like in our lives. And it was unbelievable to me how far they followed God, even when it did not seem like it was making sense. And yet they clung on to that, and that was just amazing. And so periodically through the book, it has different parts, and one of it is called the Declaration of Dependence. And this is something that they were sharing that they learned. And it says, "We are taught from an early age that the goal of manhood is to become independent. A boy moves from one end of the spectrum, total dependence at birth, to the other end, being on my own and at age 18 or 21. This independence is encouraged, admired, and celebrated by our culture. There is an independence from the world systems that is admirable, like energy and food independence. But I question, and this is them saying, but I question society's whole emphasis on independence. Is it biblical? Jesus said, 'I can of mine own self do nothing,' John 5:30. He also says to his disciples, 'Without me ye can do nothing.' The problem with the Laodicean church is that they have need of nothing. They think that they are independent, but God tells them that they are actually in a wretched condition and need to feel their total dependence. I would like to propose a paradigm shift,' they said, 'from celebrating our independence. From my personal experience and study, I suggest that the spectrum should go from total dependence on earthly parents to total dependence on God. Why else would Jesus encourage the rich young ruler to sell all that he had? Why else would he commend the widow for giving her last two mites? He wants us to feel keenly our dependence on him. For when I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Now that is something to celebrate. When I read this, it was like, wow. This was a new thought. It's about being dependent on God always and teaching that in our families from an early age. And that is just so beautiful. But the one other thing I want to talk about is every single individual is called to be a missionary. Being a missionary family is made up of individuals. And being a missionary, actually, let me true education is missionary training. Every son and daughter of God is called to be a missionary. We are called to the service of God and our fellow men, and to fit us for this service should be the object of our education, growing up, living through life, all the way to the end of our lives is education. Education is a work of a lifetime, and true education is missionary training. God has called each person in this room to be a missionary. And that, what does that mean? Does that mean that we work all week away from our families, away from our Jerusalem, the first missionary field? Does that mean we're out there kind of doing mission work, but kind of not? God has placed us, in each one of us, in places that we can be full-time missionaries for Him as we're full-time working, as we have to do in this world. But just the point is that as families, each family has a bunch of full-time missionaries that can band together for His work. And this is a beautiful blessing. And there's obviously we have to work and do these things to raise our families, to support our families, or whatever. But God has called us that in this we are missionary, not just on the weekends. And so if we can keep this idea of being a living missionary, a full-time missionary for the Lord, this will transform our families, I believe. So yeah, these are a couple of the things that have jumped out to me. But this whole idea of being of declaration of dependence, we must be dependent on God, and He's the one who can make us anything.
Amen.
As we're wrapping up this series from the week, you just want to reunify that the purpose for family existence, the reason God placed us on this earth as families and as individuals, is to spread the gospel to the world and to show and live love to our communities and to our families and to everyone. The purpose of discipleship is so our family can come to the place that we are ready to go and impact the world for Jesus Christ. That's the whole point of everything. Sometimes I feel like we get so caught up with the fact, well, our families want to go to heaven. We need to get ready to go to heaven. But we sometimes forget that we need to get ourselves ready for heaven. Yes, we need to fall in love with Jesus, but then that's not just getting ourselves ready. We need to be able to go and get our neighbors, our community, and all those out there in darkness to come with us. Because unless we share it with others, then we're not on fire for the Lord. We haven't completely surrendered to Jesus. That's the whole point of our existence here on earth, is that we might be thinking, okay, well, you know, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. I'm not, you know, a literature evangelist. I just want to go to heaven. But the responsibility rests equally on all of us. Ministry of Healing, page 148, says, to everyone who becomes a partaker of His grace, the Lord appoints a work for others. Individually, we are to stand in our lot and place, saying, here am I, send me. Upon the minister of the word, the missionary nurse, the Christian physician, or the individual Christian, whether he be merchant or farmer, professional man or mechanic, the responsibility rests upon all. It is the work to reveal to men the gospel of their salvation. Every enterprise in which we engage should be a means to this end. This quote here may not have your exact profession in it, but in the list, I think what Mrs. White is trying to convey here is that no matter what we're doing, we are responsible through our every action to be conveying to men the gospel of their salvation. This is the very reason for our existence on earth. I know there's been many times when I've had the opportunity I could say something or tell somebody, but I haven't. And I will always feel bad for that. But if we're praying every day to make us willing to, when God impresses us on our hearts to do something, that we follow through and we do it. We are called to do more than just simply be prepared for the life for heaven. The gospel needs soldiers like you and like us in this Christian battle, who are passionate about the gospel and who are passionate about spreading and sharing God's love with those around us. Actually, we got this quote from this success equation, they call it, from the Nevelis. It was really neat for me. Commitment plus faithfulness equals greatness. We need to be committed to the cause that we are involved in, and that is raising our families to be a blessing to the world, to share Jesus' love to others. If we are committed to the gospel, then we need to be, and to raising our families with Christ at the center, we need to be faithful to that commitment. And then after that, it will equal greatness. Not greatness is in the individual, but the result will be doing great things for the Lord. That is our ultimate goal, amen? To share Jesus to this dying world. As we close, we'd like to sing a song that's entitled The Home in Jesus' Hands.
Make it so bright.
Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father God, we, including the Hamilton family, are sinful human beings. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the privilege of meeting you and getting to know you before I started a family, so that from the very beginning you could be the center of our home. I pray, dear God, for the same for every family in the Maritimes and around the world, that people can have the joy of having Jesus center of their lives. Bless each family here. Lord, we all have different struggles. We've made our share of blunders, but thank you that you're working with each of us. And day by day, week by week, year by year, we can become a little more like Jesus and bring our lives into harmony with you. Bless us all, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful church families that we've had the privilege of working with, for the blessing that they've been to us, to our children. And I pray that everyone else here will enjoy that same experience. Thank you for giving us your word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We are not orphans in this world. We have a heavenly Father who loves us and has a plan for our future. Lord, may each one of us dig into your word and ask every day, Lord, what is it you would have me to do with my time today? Bless us all, and we thank you for the privilege of being here at camp meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
And amen.